Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And we have to go super hyper local where the roof is leaking in the city of Vancouver. Or is it? Is the pool leaking? Well, we'll get into that, but we're also going to talk about everything in between, including tariffs in the US and Israel and Iran and World War III. Welcome to the party. It's time for
Unspun. Okay, let's leave World War III to the end.
honestly. Okay, but let's start locally because we've been predominantly speaking of global politics and even federal politics on this podcast, and we really want what lands on our kitchen table. And if you're in Metro Vancouver, wanting to keep costs down is massive. But if you're in the city of Vancouver, you are like a punching bag of taxes. It's just unbelievable what our property taxes have been hit with over the last number of years, but most recently in the Ken Sim years. And right now we're hearing that Mayor Ken Sim is hoping, air quotes, to keep the property tax increase to under 2.5% in this his final year in office. George.
I think we predicted this. I mean, he had to come in with a at least the smallest budget that he's had in his 4 year reign of financial terror. And I said back when he did the first budget of 10.5, and then the 25% or tax increases since he got elected, and that's just on property tax. That's not including all the other hidden costs that we don't talk about when we talk about property tax. They don't. The overall budget has exploded, capital budget giant. So a debt increasing. This is our chief. What is he? He's a what is he? He's a CGA, I think he is. He said, "I'm your CGA. I know CGA. I know what I'm doing." This is what the result of not making tough decisions at the beginning, which he didn't
Right.
do about staffing. Well, he could have done a 10% budget increase in the first year if he made some changes and seen some other things, or put a hiring freeze on or something. He has no room, wiggle room now for this, because you can't do zero. It's almost impossible. It's nice to think of it, but there are inflation. We have inflation of 2 to 3% right now. So inflationary budgeting is what I always recommend. Let's stick to the inflation. But you should also always add into the pay-as-you-go model that Vancouver has a massive, part of what we do is pay as you go, whether it be parking meters or water charges or whatever. That makes a lot of money for the city, and they never really talk about it that much. They talk about property taxes, it's just seem it's hard not to be cynical, Jody, that this is simply a political move, because this is the last budget before the next election, and here's a guy who is more unpopular based on the polling I've seen than the last guy, Kennedy Stewart, who was the most unpopular mayor in the first
Before
term in
him,
the history of Vancouver.
it's across the age spectrum, it's across the gender divides, it's across everything right now. The negative feedback on our current mayor, and this is just going to feed, I believe, more into that. What have you done for us ever? Not even lately. Like, what have you? What? Whatever. Has improved here because we were told that it was so expensive for him to come in after, for Mayor Ken Sim to come in after Kennedy Stewart, the outgoing mayor, and really assessing the situation. We were all sold on the fact that he's an accountant. He was going to do line by line. He was going to cut the fat. He was going to look out for the taxpayer. He was going to look out for those who live in the city of Vancouver and try and improve where the improvements are so vitally necessary and cut back where things just aren't working. Because it's not like we don't have references, right? We can look at the municipalities around us and see what's working, that's not working in Vancouver. That's the part that drives me bonkers, George, is we're literally in this definition of insanity situation in the city of Vancouver. My born and raised here, I love it here. I love this city. I am now starting to be, do I have to live here? Like, do
Well,
I?
yeah, the numbers
That's
speak
terrible.
for themselves provincially, where we've lost 1,000 people in the last first quarter of this year, whereas Alberta gained 20,000. So
Right.
that's in the first quarter of this year. So
But Ken Sim,
migration is going the other way, and I would think
yeah.
Vancouver is no different.
But he sold himself to the electorate as someone who was going to figure out what we're really dealing with. And that's why we've seen a 25% increase in our property tax over, the first couple of budgets, because he was like, hey, the leaky roof, someone just kept punting it down the line, and I'm actually going to fix it.
Okay, well, they have done some things, but they're not really good at communicating them for sure. You know,
Tell
they
us the things. Let's talk
well,
some
you could
positives.
go
What are some of the things?
little bit cleaner in the downtown east side. That's about it.
That's true. Nope, that's
According to the
true. I
police,
was
crime is
surprised.
down. I don't believe it. If I live in
I don't believe
Yaletown,
that.
where I do, and I don't feel like crime is down, it still seems unsafe down there. Yeah, I mean, if they're gonna have wins, I mean, they've done some stuff related to affordable housing when it comes to property and how the concept of the housing portfolio, build ready kind of properties on leasehold land, which is kind of what I've always talked about. You've got all these pieces of property all over the city. How do we engage them and turn them on and to get private developers? They
Yeah.
have done that, but they haven't. Nobody knows these things. Well, so it's a
Right.
double
I'm not seeing
whammy.
those though.
I
Like,
know, I
when do
know.
we see those?
I was literally
Right.
walking down the street today on going to Granville Island for a client meeting. And I was walking the sidewalk. I'm like, what in the world? This sidewalk is ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's no different. Like, in Yaletown, where I am, there's some sidewalks. You're going, these things have not been taken care of now for 20 years. And, what's
Oh, the
the
busted
common?
sidewalks?
Yeah.
The broken?
Everything.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. We have
They're
a
terrible.
lake that forms in front of our house for 9 months of the year.
Yeah.
Reported it. They came out and looked at it after 3 years of reporting it. Literally, people slipping and falling when it gets icy, and people, walking through it, or people having to wheel through it on their wheelchairs, what have you. And they came out and they're like, no, it's not worth it.
Not worth
It's
it.
not worth it.
It's not
Wait,
well.
the XXX mayor's end of his street has a sprinkler system and a garden in it with his bike lanes. Like, what do you mean? How are we doing these things, but not these things, right? The
Yes.
basics aren't getting done while these,
It's harking
unnecessary
back to
things.
Philip Owen. He would walk around, you'd talk to him. And he would say, and he used to do that thing on Shaw TV, he'd call in
I
every
remember.
2 weeks, I think he would do it, and you could ask him anything you want. But he would, if he was walking around the street, he would see something. I remember him when after he retired, I saw him in Yaletown. He lived a couple blocks from me. And I said, what are you doing, Mayor Owen? And he was pulling off signs off of poles that were not allowed to have signs on them.
Post no
He said,
bills, post
and
no
I'm like,
bills.
you never quit. He just, this is not permitted. And things like he would probably have said to the say all the bridges that have been closed for like months, all of them, and Quebec Street as well in Vancouver. If you drive in Vancouver, it's impossible. The last year, all the bridges have been. He would have said, "No, you've got to get one of these has to be open. You can't have
Yeah,
them all under construction at the same time. That is insane. That
it
stuff
is.
doesn't come from the top anymore, and it doesn't come from. And staff are just like ho-de-ho-de-dum. They don't care. Unless they get in trouble." Unless they're given direction by the elected, they're just doing their thing, and they don't seem to have an ability to understand these things, and it makes people mad. But I also think
Yeah.
the way back in 2008, I've talked about this. Vision cut the engineering budget 30%, and it's
Right.
only just recently caught back up. But it's still like that based on inflation, under funded department, and also one of the only departments that actually funds itself through most of the fees that we get, parking, all that stuff. So planning has had so much extra money put into it to speed up planning. And has that worked? No. You can't just throw money at planning. And clearly engineering, when you have a sidewalk's not getting done, that takes money. You just got to give
Yeah.
more money. And it hasn't happened. And that's why that stuff's not happening. There's no flowers. There's no sidewalks being finished. The streets are junky. You've got these closures of all
Graffiti
the bridges.
everywhere.
There's graffiti everywhere. Okay,
Graffiti
let's put a
everywhere.
Vancouver sign and spend $5 million trillion or
Okay, but
whatever,
that's a
five million.
perfect example, George.
It's nice, but it
But
should be free.
that's a want, not a
Yes.
must-have,
Yeah.
right? Why are we putting the wants before the must-haves? And the reason why we don't have the must-haves is because we don't have the money. But somehow we have the money for these sparkly things that, and I really feel like there is that sense. And I've met Ken Sim. I would say that I know him. I don't know him super well, but I know him. He seems like a good enough person, but he's more about being the mayor than he is about being the mayor. You know what I mean? Does that make
Yes,
sense? It's
that
like, so
makes
I'm not
sense.
trying to take shots at him that are like, I don't like him because I don't like him. It's maybe you're not cut out to be that guy. Maybe you thought the job was different. You said this about when he was running for mayor, because witnessed this, you've seen that, you've watched this movie, is that people get in to elected offices and they realize what they can't do. And
Yes.
so maybe there's that, but then own it for God's sake. Like, stop pretending that you're somehow able to put it all together. You know,
Well, he
it's
didn't say no at the
frustrating.
beginning. His biggest, he didn't set a tone. He
You're
didn't
right.
give us the what are the two or three things you're gonna, succeed at over the next few years.
You
And
didn't.
get to that magical to say I did it. Check these things off. As much as people might hate Doug McCallum, I bring this up all the time. He made two promises and he delivered on them. He did them. And it took a lot of
It's
heat and he
true.
lost the next election because of it. But you can't say he failed because he succeeded.
That's
SkyTrain
right. Trent, I was going to say
and police.
it was the SkyTrain and the SPS. You're right.
Huge, huge, huge things.
Yeah.
And
Well,
McCallum was an interesting fella, but he went in there and said that, and he obviously been around government forever. So he understood the process of how you get that done. On the behind the scenes, and that's why he was successful. He understood what it takes. It took a while for the police, but we did get there
no
eventually.
kidding. No kidding. It took a while. You know what is also taking a while? Kids'
No,
school. I'm sorry I have to mention
I
it again. This is
know. I know.
a burr in my bonnet, because remind me, George, did the city officials not pat themselves wholeheartedly on the back for fixing the problem that some said couldn't be fixed after the atmospheric river damaged Kitt's pool?
Yeah, I
Didn't?
think Ken Sim held a press conference, didn't he? Saying I found a
Yeah.
solution. My team
Yeah.
went in there and did it, and
Right.
we left in Vancouver.
So the city, he's the mayor, and that's the city, right? Because
Yes.
Kitt's pool, when there's a when there's an issue like the issue that I have, because Kitt's pool is finally full of water and it is opening this weekend. Big news story yesterday. I was listening to City News 11:30, and one of the headlines was Kitt's pool is opening this weekend. It's been repaired. It is ready to go. I'm like, great. And then they say reservations open tomorrow at noon online.
So
What
stupid.
are we
So,
doing? Like, and so I tweet out,
yeah.
it is ridiculous that you need to, because George, I've said it here before and I'll say it again. For most of my life, all of my adult life, like pretty much since I graduated from high school and moved into Kitsilano, when that pool opens from the Malon weekend till just after Labor Day, because it used to close on Labor Day, or immediately after, I would swim a mile a day, every day. It was my church. I would go in different times a day all the time, depending on what my work schedule was. But barring me being deathly ill and incapable of getting out of bed, I would swim 1 mile per day at Kitt's pool. And it cost me about $3 a day, or I'd buy a pass for a month that was $30. Like, it was affordable because I was definitely a paycheck to paycheck renter. I was working for just up from minimum wage. Like, this is a place that I could access while other people had gym memberships. I was able to go to Kitt's pool. And 2020 came and Kitt's pool got shut down and went COVID rules, where everybody had to stay in boxes and you had to reserve times that you could go, even though it was outdoors, which was really, or is outdoors, really odd. And now it's over. Kitt's pool should be available the way it used to be. And the argument that I'm getting back from people in power is that, well, you'd have to stand in line. Yeah. Okay.
That's okay.
Do I do, are we making reservations for the roller coaster at the P&E too? Oh my God, I shouldn't give them ideas. I shouldn't. But seriously, that's the excuse? People coming in from out of town should be able to book their time in the pool. No.
No.
I should be able to go to Pickett. You should be able to go to kids' pool.
Wake up in the morning, ride my bike over there, stand in line. Because the best part of the line concept is it pressures the people inside the pool to get the heck out.
Right.
It's like you go to tennis courts. You don't secure tennis courts in the city of Vancouver in park board. You don't reserve. You sit there
No.
and it says in the sign, half an hour max.
Right.
Half an hour goes by. You give them the dirty look and they bail it and you go and you play tennis.
Can
Why
you imagine if
suddenly?
they made the people who use the basketball courts down at Kitts Beach reserve it online? Can you imagine the backlash?
Howard
This
Kelsey would
is,
be on his, he'd be like,
but
ah.
why is this unbelievable community jewel? I will say it, much to Justin McElroy's chagrin, this jewel of our city is literally being gate kept from the people who pay for it, which is you and me.
Doesn't
Like this, I'm
doesn't
so
Justin
pissed
like
off
it?
about it.
What doesn't
No,
Justin like it?
Justin doesn't like a hidden gem. He doesn't like the term gem.
Oh,
But
okay.
so I tweeted that I think it is ridiculous that you have to make a reservation at Kids Pool as of the time of us doing this podcast. That has been viewed or hit or whatever you want to call it. That little stat in the corner is like 12,000. And I've got all of these replies about it. Everybody is so like, what? What? What?
Yeah. No,
What?
I don't. You're not alone. And you know, my neighbor, he swims there all the time, and he's super fit. He loves because it's the length of the pool is the only place he lives in Yaletown. Drives his bike
137
there.
and a half
It's
meters. Yeah,
huge.
it's
There's
huge.
enough lanes for everybody. If you can get behind with, you know, all that stuff that swimmers like,
Yeah.
and there's room for kids too. And so it's
T
got everything.
tons of room for
And then you
kids.
go to the beach afterwards. If you want to hang out by the water, you can do both if you want. But you don't have to stay at the
Yeah.
pool for 8 hours. Nobody
No,
should,
no,
or even
nobody
two
should.
hours. Like you go there a couple of hours, get out, go
So
do something else.
the reason why it pisses me off that it's like it's a city congratulations to us thing when they can get the engineers to come in and fix the leak. When I put out that tweet, I tagged a bunch of city council people and one of them hit my DMs and was like, yeah, that's a park board problem.
But what about last
I'm
year when
like,
the press conference? What about the
what
train
about,
in Stanley Park? Remember where they fixed that thing?
yeah,
And
like
that's
what about,
broken.
how about you guys are all paid by us? Fix it. Get together. If you're fighting with the park board, you still got to get stuff done. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about fighting and trying to get stuff done between provinces. How's that for a segue? David Eby and Danielle Smith, not exactly on the same page with the Team Canada approach. Danielle Smith has got it out for our premier because
Well,
of the
the
pipeline needs
pipeline.
on the North Coast. And
I mean, Eby had to say that, but he went so fast to that conclusion, that he's divided his own caucus. There's knives out apparently for him now with
oh,
some.
really?
Well, you think about the union jobs and all that stuff. They always have to that balance, the NDP, of the environmental stuff and the union stuff, because they are
And First
both.
Nations.
And well, yeah, the First Nations, you know, they well, I mean, Gordon Campbell did more First Nations than the NDP ever did. But anyways, yeah,
No, but
it's
that's still, I mean, that's
yeah,
still
they try
among
to,
the front burner
sure,
issues that he has to deal with. It's not
yes, but to
just,
shut it
yeah.
down, which is basically what he's done at this point, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's ridiculous. That's not teamwork, buddy.
So,
And
can
you
you
know,
explain to our listener or viewer why he shut it down? Why is
well,
there a ban on
I think for him,
creators?
it's the environmental stuff, but also I think the whole First Nations thing, it's the balance of those things. But well, don't presume the decision before you've even had a conversation with the nations up there. They might want it, or they, if you negotiate with them, they might, you know, I don't know, they're all over the map on as far as where they stand on pipelines. We got the one to Vancouver done. It was complicated. It had to divert a few places and go up and under and whatever, but it got
Right.
done.
And the freighters, we call them freighters, and the
Tankers.
tankers, thank you, that's the word I was looking for. It is my understanding, and certainly after having witnessed the Exxon Valdez horrifying tragedy that was that spill, that taught a lot of people both an environmental lesson but also a shipping lesson, because now the tankers have, you know, the double ballooned liner fill, whatever, layperson's term, but it's today's tanker is not yesterday's tanker, but that doesn't make it like great for the environment, but neither are cruise ships, and nobody's really arguing about those, you know, like, right? Like there's that. How do we get these natural resources to market if we don't work together? Are there no other options than just that northern pipeline that goes through some
Well,
pretty
there's two,
crazy waters and
not to Asia. I mean, the goal is to
right
have that pipeline that goes one way over to the
east?
northern Manitoba, I think it is, and then the other one goes to west. So that's for Europe, and this one's for Asia, and be multi-use pipelines. They say they're going to refine it, or it's not going to be pure bitumen, but
Bitumen,
whatever.
yeah,
I
because
have
that's the thing that
absolutely,
we're doing now, is we're shipping bitumen and then we're buying
yeah,
back the gasoline at three
that's
times
right.
the price. So,
And you could send us
and then we're, yeah.
two deep ports on both sides, which we don't.
Right.
Vancouver has a challenge. We could, by the way, a solution for the province and the federal government should really look at us. And you know, Tawasin, is that port in Tawasin
Right, the Super
should
Port.
be where all the oil tankers go, because they could literally, like, navigating into the city of Vancouver to go way up to Burnaby to in and out. They got to dig out underneath the other. It's like crazy.
Dredge,
Why not
yeah.
just, you could literally have a, if you expanded the port out in Tawasin, you could have ships literally going and lining in and out, like zoom in, zoom out, zoom out. There'd be no waiting time or floating around in a harbor waiting for the next one to come, or there'd be no
Right.
fear of it grounding or hitting a bridge or all these things. I don't know why that there's no conversation about expanding that port, because to me that makes the most logical sense. It goes far enough out there, so it's deep, and you don't have to come into the city with a giant oil tanker. Like, hello, can we not think about that too? Anyway,
Yeah.
I just think that,
It's
you
interesting
know.
though, but it's like a conversation that's so triggering for on so many levels. It's something that I believe we will continue to be speaking about in the months ahead, because when we're listening to, well, the G7, watching, did you watch a bunch of that or were you busy?
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, yeah, and getting all the perspectives of it was interesting. Fox
What
News
did you
versus
think?
CNN.
Right. I did the same thing. So what did you think? We haven't talked about this, so I'll find this fascinating. Go,
Well, I
go.
mean, the unpredictable Trump, whatever. Like, the fact that he showed up was, surprising. I wasn't particularly fond of how fawning our prime minister was. But, whatever. I thought then he bailed, but I think they did a good job pivoting. I think Carney, and I think everybody must have assumed he probably wouldn't last. Have you ever been to a conference where there's all these web courses and things, and you're like, ugh, this is boring. Do I have to? And all you want to do is go to the bar and meet your friends. I
Just
think
want
that's
to
a
schmooze with
lot
the
of that
people, sit
stuff.
by the pool.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
that's kind of how Trump was feeling. He's like, oh, yes, this is boring. I don't want to talk about this stuff. He doesn't have the attention span to sit in a room and talk about policy. That's not his thing. So I can
I
just
thought that.
imagine what was going through his head when he got there with all these, fairly nerdy leaders, most of them, right? They're not the most dynamic group of people. There's, they
Oh, I'd love
kind
to
of,
sit at that table. I
yes,
think
I know, but they're
they
not,
would be able
there's
to,
no
but they're
Boris
not Trump's
Johnson.
fun people.
No,
No,
they're
they're
not,
not
yeah.
Trump fun. It's just not Trump's
Yeah,
idea of a good time at all,
that's
which is
right.
why, frankly, I think, and so the different perspective, you considered it fawning. I thought it a really fine line between, just diplomacy and just enough ego stroke, because he's trying to build toward, because what we've seen, if nothing else, what I believe we've seen with US President Donald Trump is he's very much, I either like you or I don't. And he hated the last guy. And he's calling the new guy Mark. Mark's very smart. Mark's got some ideas too. I'm really a tariff guy, but now, Mark's got some ideas. They're a little bit different than mine, but there's some good ideas there. And and even just that he's having that consideration, like we can count on that guy zero. Donald Trump has an agreement. We had an agreement in place as a country with the United States that he had no problem throwing out the window. So anything he agrees to, he'll have no problem throwing out the window again. So I look at what Mark Carney's doing as a really interesting game of like battleship. Like there's a little bit of
Yeah,
there's
like
a
that
little
press
bit of
conference
there's some ground game.
where he sort
Well,
of
I mean,
said,
well, and when he's like, never, never, we're never the 51st state. And then this morning's press conference that he held, where he took questions and he really handled it, I thought magnificently, because I like that he's seemingly not speaking in politics speak. Like he's
yeah.
just talking about what he knows. And when somebody says something that doesn't fit with the actual importance of looking at things from an economist's point of view, because every reporter, including us, wants a definitive answer. And he's like, I'd love a definitive answer. But what I can tell you is this is going to go one of two ways. We're either going to get some kind of deal done where there's some level of tariff. And if there is some level of tariff, we will have some level of reciprocal tariff, or we'll come to some agreement that takes us back to where we were before, which made us excellent trading partners and continue to grow the economy. He's like, either way, though, we're going over here to make new friends.
Yeah,
We
that
not and
was
that I
yeah.
like.
And the
That I
fact that he
like.
had in these backup Trumpers, non-Trump, I mean, the Modi from India was
Oh
there.
yeah,
They
very
had,
unpopular. Whoop.
who else was there? The Australians were there.
Yep.
This was
Japan,
Japan.
Korea.
Basically, G7 became what, the G12 or whatever it
It
is. So,
basically did.
and with it's life without Trump, let's just talk about that. Now that the elephant has left the room, Let's get back to business. And I think they got a lot of business done. I think, it's hard to believe a world could live without America and its economy, but you got to start planning for it. And that's kind of been the basic principle that Carney's been going on since the moment he was elected leader. And this is part of that process. If we can have great relations with Japan and Australia and whatever country
EU and the UK and
India has 1 billion people. And then Europe as well, which goes back to the pipeline discussion, back east west. You got to go east west. That's we you know we for years we've been doing this podcast, and I talk about we have prosperity in this country,
we do.
exclusively because of our oil and gas and minerals and products
Natural
that we are
resources.
able to pull out of our earth and sell to the world. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't. We would be the 51st state. So,
Right, but we're not, and we won't be. And I think
no.
that little that rattle that we got, that thing that shook us, it's interesting to see it now shift and play out because we were very much his first target, the US president's first target. He has many targets now, including within his own country, which brings us to and we'll get to World War III eventually, but I want to pivot to what we're seeing in LA. The National Guard being deployed. The governor of California did not ask for the National Guard to be deployed. This is highly unusual. Having lived in Los Angeles, I believe you lived down there for a bit. Did you live in LA? But I
No.
lived in LA, and when I was looking at the protests, the marches, the ICE original ICE protests, I was looking at where they were happening and watching them, and it was a couple of dozen people to start with. Like when it became this conflict that had the Oval Office like sending in, it was 1/1000th of January 6th is what it was 1/1000th of January 6th when the National Guard was called in. But the ICE arrests that we're seeing in the blue states and the blue cities across the United States, and there's more of it coming, and there's judicial rulings on it at lower courts from judges who were appointed by Ronald Reagan. So this is not a liberal and conservative or Democrat conservative situation. But did you see the news today? There are a couple of World Cup qualifying matches that are taking place in the US in preparation from not qualifying, friendlies, I guess they are. I don't really know. But there are a couple of matches. And there was sort of a notice put out that ICE agents would be coming to these events. The stands were empty, like empty. How is the United States going to host the World Cup of soccer without allowing migrants, like legal migrants, legal residents, to come there?
And you don't think it's because nobody likes soccer in North America, right?
No, I don't think it's because nobody likes soccer. They did the
Okay.
before with these teams and the now with these teams, and the difference was completely sold out and 94 people in attendance.
I saw those photos, the empty stands one. I'm like, that's not good. I mean, and there's the whole concern about the players coming and them getting. It's like, what? It's insane. So hey,
It's
guess what?
wild.
Canada will happily take all the games. Thanks very much. As will Mexico. We'll take them. We'll take them all.
Come on up here. We're
We're
taking
planting the grass
all.
anyways.
That's right. And we're also that the grass looks really good. They call it the soup. We'll also take all the tourism dollars because there are a lot of you see the tourists getting water sprayed on them in Italy, Spain, and Portugal.
Oh yes, yes.
Like,
I mean, if you've been there, like I've been to those places, but I usually avoid those peak seasons because of it's horrible. And it's obnoxious, and don't go to those places,
don't go.
everybody. Go there in March when there's nobody there. The Vatican is the same in March as it is, and it's quite warm. It's
It's
20
quite
degrees.
warm and lovely. Yeah, it's not 50 degrees. How do you think this is going to go? I always like your opinion on these things, and there's no way you know the answer to it, but Israel and Iran, like what?
Well, as you know, I've spoken about having lived in Israel and experienced the tensions that you have every day there, both sides. I think that clearly, I mean, first of all, Trump knew this was happening. We all knew this was going to happen. They literally were broadcasting 2 days before that happened that all the diplomats' partners were supposed to leave the co these countries.
Get
Like,
out.
something's going down. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard not to. I'm confused by the by the Tucker Carlson and the whole anti how this is bad for Trump. I'm so confused by this actually, because I'm thinking, why? Why is this? He's first of all, they're not involved yet, but also this is a country that has been funding terrorists for years and are part of the reason there's a problem there. It's Israel's decided to be the bad guy, which, you know, is are they considered the bad guy like they were with in Gaza? It's so confusing. In this case, I think a lot of people are going, yeah, go get him. I think that's the general sense of it. It's time somebody went in there and made a stand about Iran making these threats, and they've obviously been weakened. But yeah, does it lead
Iran
to,
has been weakened.
yeah.
That's a point that not everybody who, I mean, you and I geek out watching news, and we're just hitting our time here in terms of keeping to 30 minutes for our podcast, but this is a subject we could go deep on. But the fact of the matter is Iran has weapons and is very close to having nuclear weapons. That's the provocative piece here, is why we were loosely doing the World War III thing, because if they escalate and engage with the United States, then, you know, that's when we're talking about massive world war level conflict, because then a whole bunch of other people come to the party and everybody picks sides, and it gets super ugly. But at the basic fact of the matter is if you take Iran's weapon versus the United States weapons, it's like
Not even
wiped off the
close.
map. And the terrifying thing there is, again, the collateral damage, which will be the people who don't have a nuclear shelter to go into, or you know, a bunker of the degree. Because the people that are sitting in big gilded rooms talking about what they might do, they do have a place to go. And we're
I think
seeing,
Israel's pretty good with its bunkers, but it's
but
pretty much everywhere. But yeah, you're right. And I think though
no,
is
I didn't mean Israel. I meant the people of Iran.
yes. They're definitely not
There are people
prepped.
that,
They're
like, there
not
was a time where
protected.
Iran was, yeah,
Yeah,
there was a
they're not
time where
protected.
Iran was a far more manageable place to live. I don't even know. I've spoken to a
Well,
couple of people who moved from Iran to here, and they're like very, 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 very happy to be Canadian.
yes, and some of them are going, go Israel. But I would
Right.
say, from a spin point of view, I find it
Yeah.
very interesting that Netanyahu is sort of going, okay, now's the time. Not only because of the capabilities, but first of all, it distracts us from Gaza.
Totally.
It also,
He's got
from a
reason.
PR point of view, I think it's a positive for him generally, with most of Europe is supporting him. So okay,
Because he had a
clever
confidence
spin.
vote that he got out of, right? Because there was a whole thing that happened there, and he was very close to being. Okay, we got to go. You're going to follow along on our social media, right? Like, you love Unspun Podcast, you're going to share it, like it, with share it, tell your friends. But follow on Twitter at George
Underscore. Whew.
Affleck, at George underscore Affleck. I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance on all the social medias. Next week, remind me, I got a couple of other things that I got to update you on. One is my BC Supreme Court
Oh,
criminal
yes.
harassment suit.
Yes. Yes, I'm there for you. I'm
We'll
there for
talk
you.
about it. Peace
All
us
right.
out. You're the
See you next
best.
week.
Bye.
Bye.